This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. The WHL has ushered in mandatory neck protection as of this weekend. WHL's Vice President of Hockey, Richard Dirksen, explains that move in moments. Fraser Minton had a whirlwind start to his season. After a month with the NHL's Toronto Maple Leafs, Minton back in Kamloops, where he was named the captain of the Blazers this week. I'll have more with him. And being that it's November, the focus shifting to men's health awareness. Head coach of the Vancouver Giants, Manny Viveros, has his own personal story. He'll join us as well. First up, the WHL has announced the adoption of mandatory neck guard protection for all players effective this weekend. We have the WHL's Vice President of Hockey, Richard Dirksen, on the line to talk about this move that came down on Wednesday. Richard, first of all, obviously this is in reaction to a terrible incident that happened overseas, but what led the WHL to make this move and get it in place this weekend?
Well, following the tragic incident that happened in England over the weekend, obviously we had discussion here in the office on Monday morning, and certainly some of our teams were calling as well with their thoughts. So we immediately got on the topic as to how we could address this. Ron had some conversations with members of the executive committee, including chairman of the board, Bruce Hamilton. And then we had a conference call with the executive committee yesterday where we had it on the agenda. And they were all in full agreement with our recommendation that neck guards should be made mandatory as soon as possible. We then notified our clubs following that call and issued the release late yesterday afternoon.
This has sparked a lot of questions around the hockey world for sure. The NHL is now in discussion with the league and the Players Association. So this seems to be a movement that is, you know, spreading across hockey right now.
And again, probably very deserving. You know, it's an area that from our own league, you know, watching and emulating the National Hockey League, where they have not worn the neck guards, we haven't either. And yet, when something like this happens, it just brings to all of us exactly what could happen in any game at any time. So I think the prudent thing was to do what we have done, make them mandatory. And I certainly feel the players will respect the decision that we are implementing.
I know the league is also anticipating some challenges here in the delivery of the neck guard equipment, namely because you do have some teams right now on the midst of a longer road trip, maybe out east or out west. So how is, you know, some of the equipment supply getting to some of these teams, or what's the plan there?
We have been working very diligently on that matter. Bauer is the official CHL supplier for neck guards. So we've had a lot of correspondence with them through the course of this week. We have made the neck guards mandatory for games effective on Friday night. However, with the understanding that for the teams that will not be able to receive them, they would be implemented when the team in fact does receive them. So I would think for this weekend we will have only a few teams that will be wearing the neck guards. But certainly by next weekend, we envision all of our teams will have neck guards in place.
Rick, nice to see the WHL take this initiative. No doubt a positive move across the hockey landscape, given the tragedy overseas. Thanks for being our guest here on WHL This Week.
Thanks, John.
You're listening to the WHL This Week radio edition.
Toronto Maple Leafs second-round pick Fraser Minton has spent the last 6 weeks with the NHL club. After four games in the regular season, he was reassigned back to the Kamloops Blazers for his 19-year-old season. We spoke this week about his time in Toronto and coming back to Kamloops.
I'm really proud of how it went for myself personally. Happy with what I was able to accomplish. Obviously, a little ahead of schedule in most people's eyes, I think. But for me, it was just about continuing my process that I do every day of just trying to be intentional with what I work on and be in the moment and give everything I got. And felt I was able to surpass some of the guys there at camp because of that. And obviously, very grateful that I got those opportunities, that the staff there believed in me. And yeah, I was leaving there with no regrets and just more confidence for sure.
Yeah, and you come back and bring that confidence back here. Name the captain, by the way. Congratulations today on that. That's awesome. That was a bit of a slam dunk, but still had to go through the process on that. So this is your team. What does that mean to you here as you get going here this weekend?
It's exciting for sure. It's a huge honor to be named that. We've had lots of unreal players wear that in the past year, and from the day I signed, that was kind of something I had in mind as a goal at one point, wanting to be a leader on this team and be the leader on the team. Had one of my midget coach, I remember when I signed, he told me I was going to be the captain one day, and yeah. So to be it now is pretty cool. Obviously, but I think nothing really changes. Just be myself and continue to be a good teammate and play hard.
I think you were in Jim Tree Living's office first. I think you called your parents though first, right? Like, take me through the conversation you had with Tree Living, and then the phone call.
Yeah. So we played in Detroit the final preseason game there. I believe that was on a Sunday or it was on a Saturday maybe, and you had to have the roster submitted by Monday, I believe. Mm-hmm. So Sunday was kind of cuts. Everybody knew cuts were coming. Sunday, yeah. We had to get the group down. Then on the plane ride back from Detroit Saturday night, GM was calling up guys one by one to the front of the plane. So knew I was going to have a conversation there that night.
And you didn't know at that point, right?
No, no idea at that point. Still probably expecting I would be sent down, just yeah. Age.
By the way, Sheldon Keefe loves you like you're his child, I think, too.
Yeah, right? It's crazy. He's been super supportive, yeah. which is great.
Anyways, continue.
Yeah, so we went up to the front and sat beside Brad, and he said that all the guys that had come up previously had been told they were going down. But for me, he didn't know yet. He wasn't sure. He wasn't sure because cap related. He said that I played well enough throughout preseason that I deserve an opportunity, but because of my age, because of the development aspect of being a young guy, mm-hmm. versus going back to junior, they hadn't made a decision on if they're gonna make moves or open up some space to give me an opportunity to start the season there. So I was kind of like, okay, that's great. Like, I was happy to hear
that. But you're still in limbo. Like, there's
I'm still in limbo, yeah. Sunday was Thanksgiving there, and I was... Morgan Riley, who's an awesome dude, he invited me out to his... He's got a little farmhouse out there outside
of
the city.
With Tessa Virtue, right?
They're married. with his wife. Yeah. So they invited me out to have Thanksgiving meal with them and their families, which was awesome. And just in the car on the way there, got the call from Brad saying that I was gonna stick around.
Oh, man.
Which was...
Did Morgan, do you think, like, Morgan Riley would have known that call was coming?
No,
like,
he actually asked me when I got out of the car and when I arrived there, like, if I knew what was going on yet, and I told him, so he was pretty pumped too, which was sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then I think first call was to my mom and dad, called Bryce, I don't think he picked up, I think he was busy doing something, yeah. Then texted a couple of my buddies back home and all those guys, and... that was pretty cool. They're super pumped. So,
how do you adjust now? How do you get back to you know? I'm not going to say the Blazers is great. I mean, I think the organization is great. You get treated well, but it's still junior hockey, right? And they're still going to be busing to Spokane and Wenatchee and all these places. But is it a tough adjustment for you? Like, do you think you got enough of that champagne lifestyle that's going to change you this year at all?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that tough. I think this is, like, the adjustment to that level was way tougher than just coming back will be, because I'm used to this. This mm-hmm. is what I've been doing for the past 3 years consistently, so it feels more like natural probably at this point. It's good to go through that. It makes you really appreciate when you get to that level how sick it is and how well-treated you are having gone through the lower levels and kind of grind it out, so to speak. But it's also so fun, like, being with guys your age who are all trying to do the same thing is just some of the best moments I think in our lives we'll have, just grinding it out together, yeah. In junior hockey,
it's,
you know, these
point.
These memories of, I don't know, just stupid laughs on the bus at 4 a.m. or whatever, like, yeah. On your way back from, like you said, Spokane or whatever, yeah. Those are some of the best times. So That stuff will be exciting. Happy to get at least another year of that here for sure.
From the drop of the puck to the Edschenauth Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Prince George Cougars forward Zach Funk has been named the WHL Player of the Month for September and October.
Funk with Becker. Funk made a move, cut to the inside. Funk to the backhand again and scores. What a pretty goal by Funk. And he's made it 6-1.
The Lang right circle leaves it for Andre Becker. Back to Hunter Lang. Spins it up front. They score! Hat trick for Zach Funk.
Drop the draw. Puck down low right corner. Now came out in front. They score. Funk is able to rip it home. Blocker's side.
Here's Height. Bail him out for Funk. Scores!
Funk recorded 30 points. That's 14 goals and 16 assists in 14 games to start the season. He sits atop the WHL scoring charts heading into November. His 14 goals rank third in the WHL. His 16 assists are good enough to leave him tied for fourth. The 6-foot, 210-pound right winger put up 5 points on the score sheet on three different occasions through September and October and recorded 8 multi-point performances through 14 games this season. Elsewhere, Portland Winterhawks netminder Jan Spoonar has been named the WHL Goaltender of the Month. Spoonar, the 19-year-old Czech import, went 7-2 with a 1.63 goals against average and a .936 save percentage, along with one shutout to start the season. The 6'3", 199-pound Spoonar has allowed 2 or less goals in 8 of his 9 appearances so far this season. And Prince George Cougars forward Tarek Parasak has been named the WHL's Rookie of the Month. He recorded 29 points in 14 games to start the season. He sits second in WHL scoring behind his teammate, Zach Funk.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
We have our first repeat winner for the Tempo WHL Player of the Week this season.
There's a turnover. Furkus shot! Scores! The three-ring circus as Jagger Furkus gets his second hat-trick of the season.
Seattle Kraken prospect Jagger Furkus of the Moose Jaw Warriors has been named the Tempo WHL Player of the Week. Furkus, selected by the Kraken in the second round, 35th overall of the 2023 NHL Draft, recorded 9 points in 4 games, 6 of them goals. The Warriors went 3-4 this past week. This is the second time Furkus has been named the Tempo WHL Player of the Week already this season. He was previously recognized Monday, October 2nd.
In the corners and around the boards, the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Vancouver Giants head coach Manny Viveros knows how important November is when it comes to raising awareness towards men's health and men's cancer. Regan Bartel has more.
Manny, I want to get real with you for just a second. I'm going to talk to you once this year. November, of course, is a big month for men's health and your battle with prostate cancer. Bring us inside your world a little bit to when or how it was detected and how you've negotiated through that.
Well, actually, I ended up having 2 cancers. I ended up battled 2 cancers within the last 18 months or 2 years. I went and got for a routine checkup with their club in Las Vegas, in the Golden Knights there, and then my blood results came back that it looked like possibly something could be wrong. So we ended up doing it, getting it checked out, and unfortunately it was cancer. And we were quite concerned at first, though, but we were fortunate enough that we think that we've got it all. And everything since then, all my scans and everything else have been really clean. So, it's something I'm an advocate. I have no problem talking about my experience. If I can help anybody at all, you just go get tested. Go see your doctor. Get a simple blood test, a PSA test, and that could tell a lot. And that can make a huge difference of early detection or unfortunately, some people don't catch it. It could be lethal. Here, so, but it's something I think at any age, even after 40 years old, if you have a history in your family, make sure you go see your doctor, though. So, it was a tough 2 years, physically, mentally, and even more so in my family. But I'm good now, and I feel really good again. I'm healthy, and right now, doctors they'll never ever say you're always cancer free, but they said you're about as close as you can be. So, everything looks really good.
Good to hear. Okay, you and I are about the same age. We're in our mid 50s. I mean, and you talked about getting screened. Am I too scared to get a physical, or because boy, they're really putting their life on the line?
Yeah, I think for me, I felt fine. Mm-hmm. For the most part, I thought I'd take really good care of myself. myself. And there wasn't really a whole lot of history in my family on that, though. So that's something that also, too, could be misleading also, too. So I think it's just like anything else. You need to go in and make sure that you're just, you know, once every 6 months or go in for a checkup and just, you know, and make sure you're feeling good. If something's not right, don't be the tough guy. Like we all think that we are, and I can just battle through it. If something's not right, then usually maybe something could be not right. Just go see your doctor. And, you know, it's a 45-minute visit sometimes, and then you could, you know, find something early, possibly, or even better if there's nothing there. But at least you have a peace of mind. And that's something, you know, for me, myself, of being an ex-athlete also, too, is you've got this macho mentality. And you know what? There's nothing macho about dealing with cancer. It's real, and so many millions of people in the world have to deal with this. And nowadays, they're so good at what they can do with early detection. I think it can, for the most part, be preventable.
Okay, so Movember, when everybody wears those goofy mustaches, does it? Are we going in the right direction? Do you think it makes an impact whatsoever?
I certainly do. It brings awareness. I think, you know, over the last year or two, when I've really noticed that when teams do that, you see when someone holds up the card, you know, I'm doing this tonight for my relative or my friend, and it's pretty well, you can notice it's probably three-quarters of the crowd people putting a sign up, and that's something how real it is. You know, again, there's always that stigma. If it doesn't happen to me, it doesn't matter. But it can happen. And you think you're invincible at times, and you're certainly not. I certainly thought I was, but it certainly wasn't the case here. So it does make a matter that people are recognizing this. And like I said before, people and the research nowadays, what they're doing with all types of treatments like that, it's getting better. But maybe someday, hopefully, that they'll find a way to, you know, eradicate all of cancer. So that's what the end goal is. And you know, the way technology is nowadays, you never know. And hopefully that can happen.
Well, you speak from experience. Nice to see that you've erased C, the letter C, from your life. Thanks for broaching the subject for me. And I think you've helped our listeners a little bit as we go into the month of November. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And that's the show this week. Big thanks to our guests and to Regan Bartel in Kelowna for his help. I'm John Keane. Have a great weekend. We'll